to see a lot of faces here today, a lot of new faces as well. Great to see you and welcome. Let me just pray for us again before we get into God's word. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can hear from your word today. And Lord, we thank you that we can hear from this book in Philippians and hear about Paul's struggles in life and how he faced struggles in life as well. And Lord, we just want to pray that you'll speak to us today, that you'll give me energy and give me strength and give me the words that you want to speak to us so that we can be convicted of our own sins and be convicted to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's this book that Matt Chan is reading, actually. It's called Fresh Off the Boat. And if you guys haven't heard about it, it's a book that's been made into a TV series. It's by a guy called Eddie Huang. And if you guys saw the commercial for the TV series that's out in the US, it's hilarious, okay? Because it's about a family, an Asian family, who moves to this new town, a new city, where they have to figure out how to live as an Asian family amongst the Americans, basically. And so for Eddie Huang, this young 10-year-old kid or whatever, he goes to school and he finds out he's the only Chinese kid in the whole school. And for me, I watched it and I was like, this is my story. This is exactly me. You know, I grew up in a little suburb called Kelvin Grove in Brisbane, and I went to this school where I was the only Chinese kid there. But the one thing that Eddie Huang doesn't do very well is he makes everything hilarious. He makes everything really funny, but he doesn't really emphasize the hardships they have to actually go through. He makes a mockery out of it, actually. He makes it a funny thing, and we like doing that. We like making hard things funny. But if he was really to tell the story properly, I think what he'd do is he'd be able to share with his audience that his parents went through a lot of hardships. His parents went through a lot of struggling and suffering so he could be able to have the good life. And I think that's something that I always remember in my family when I grew up. You see, it's so easy for us to grow up and think that our parents didn't do anything except give us a hard time growing up, making us study hard and work hard and get good marks. But I really admire my dad. You see, my dad came to Australia 30 years ago, and he came with basically nothing, had to get a loan from the bank, and he just ran this fish and chip store with my mum for a good few years. He had six kids within the span of 5 years. So I've got five sisters. And he'd share with myself, he'd share with Hardy as well, these stories when he was growing up. He wasn't educated. He didn't get to go to school, but he taught himself how to read and write for himself. When he came to Australia, he didn't have anything. He worked really hard to get what he has now with my worked really hard with my mum. And as we were all born, six of us, he would tell stories like when he'd have to bathe us, all six of us, and he'd wash us one by one, and he'd be sweating in this little bathroom, this little toilet, shoebox toilet or whatever, shoebox bathroom, and he'd be cleaning us one by one. He'd be sweating, and he'd be struggling, and he'd be working really hard for our family. You see, he worked two jobs. He got a job at this glass factory as well. And in that glass factory, it was full of Aussies who at that time were quite racist to him. So he'd always break out in fights, come home with black eyes and things like that. And then during the daytime, he'd work in the fish and chip store. He worked really hard for our family. You see, for my dad, at the heart of everything, he really wanted to give us a better opportunity, a better life than what he had. Opportunity to study, opportunity to get a job, opportunity to not have to go through the hardships he went through. You see, at the heart of all his ambitions was his family and wanting to care for and love his family. And that really encourages me. You see, suffering and struggling through life is going to happen, isn't it? There's always going to be times we're going to struggle, we're going to suffer. Things are hard in this life. It's not the question of will I struggle, but the question is when will I struggle and how will I struggle? How will I suffer? Will I suffer in a way that's purposeful or in a way that's purposeless? We've all suffered, haven't we? We all struggle sometimes with our friends, with our family members, with our sicknesses and our health. We struggle when we lose our jobs or when we don't get into that uni degree that we wanted to get into. Suffering is just a part of this life, and we've got to deal with it. But how? How will suffering impact your life? We've been hearing these last couple of weeks about Paul, right, and his letter to the Philippians. And this is the third sermon in this series. And we heard about Paul, a man who's been changed by the gospel, a man who saw that his life was nothing until God came in and changed it. We saw about how his life is all about the gospel at the heart of everything. We saw how Paul was a man who's suffering in chains at the moment. And we saw Paul's heart for the Philippians. We saw Paul's heart for the gospel to go forward through the Philippians, through their prayers for him, through their partnership with him. See, at the heart of Paul's ambitions was the gospel and the gospel going forward. When suffering comes our way, when we got to face suffering in the face, when we got to swallow that jagged pill of suffering, when we're walking down Struggle Street, how are you going to respond? That's the question. How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond as Christians with the gospel at the center? We saw how partnership for Paul, how he loved that partnership because the gospel was advancing through that. Their support for him helped spread the gospel. Now we're going to see today how something as terrible as suffering is used for good. It's going to be used for good to advance the gospel. And that's what this passage today is going to be about. If you guys have your bulletins, you can actually follow along in this outline here. First point is that suffering for Paul, he did it for a purpose. He suffered for a purpose. His suffering was purposeful. You see, it was purposeful for the gospel to go forward. So when you read verse 12 to 13, which is coming up, he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." You see, for Paul, he was there for a purpose. He didn't want to alarm them. He didn't want to scare them. Imagine that. Imagine if we had one of our missionaries that we support. Sharon, for example, in Japan, she writes us this letter. The first thing she tells us is like, "I'm in chains at the moment. I'm in prison." We'd start freaking out a bit, wouldn't we? We'd be a bit worried. We'd be getting on our knees in prayer. But Paul says, you know, "I've been suffering in prison. But you know what? It's a good thing. It's a good thing because I can see the gospel still going forward. I can still see the gospel advancing." You see, there's this ironic turn in events for Paul. Like he's arrested because he's preaching the gospel. He's proclaiming the gospel. He wants the gospel to go forward. He's arrested for that. But even in his chains, in prison, the gospel is still going forward. It's going forward through the imperial guard, the guards that are guarding him in his cell, in his room, wherever he is. These guards know his story. These guards know why he's there. He's not afraid to share it with them. He's not afraid. He wants them to know. He wants them to know the purpose why he's suffering. Even in prison, even in his chains, gospel is being proclaimed. Paul doesn't let his chains stop him. He doesn't consider his chains as a failure to his mission. He doesn't think that his suffering is going to stop him, set him back. And at the end of verse 18, he says, "Well, the gospel's going forward. I'm rejoicing about this." A man who's in his jail cell, who probably doesn't get much to eat, he probably doesn't have a comfortable bed to sleep in, probably doesn't have internet to go on his Facebook. He's suffering. He's struggling. But he still says, "I rejoice. It's okay, because the gospel's going forward." If he was saying something to the Philippians like, "I'm staying in a 5-star hotel, margaritas all around, massages every day, and I'm rejoicing." Oh, good for you, Paul. That's great. But he's not, is he? It's in his suffering that he can still say he's rejoicing. He's suffering for a purpose, that the gospel's going to go forward. And that's what the jailers are seeing. And this isn't something new for him. If you remember back in Acts chapter 16, when Paul first went to Philippi, the city where the church was started, he ended up in jail, didn't he? And what happened in that jail cell? The jailer became a Christian. He was able to share the gospel with that jailer. He finds himself again in the jail cell. Not in Philippi this time, somewhere else, but the whole guard is hearing the gospel message. The whole imperial guard knows that this guy is here for a purpose because of the gospel. In that, he's rejoicing. And he's suffering, my second point, he's suffering in a way that empowers. He suffers in a way that empowers. You see, let me read verse 14. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, his own sufferings has led to others around him to be confident in the same Lord Jesus as Paul, to be confident in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around them. It gives them courage. They're encouraged by his suffering. So they too want to go out and say, this guy can do it, I can do it too. And we love hearing those stories of heroism and those stories where people are so inspiring, just ordinary people who just use their voice and their actions to show people that these things can be done. And so there are movies like Braveheart about William Wallace, you know, and he'll stand in front of hundreds of men on their horses, just countrymen, normal men, who are under tyranny and under oppression, and he'll say to them, what does he say? He says, you may take our lives, they may take our lives, but they will not take our freedom, right? Something like that. Great, thanks. They will never take our freedom, right? And what happens? That inspires the people. They go in, they rush into war, they're rushing into battle, because William Wallace himself is not only inspiring them through his words, but he's going in with them. He's the trailblazer. He'll go in with them and he'll fight for what he believes in. We love hearing their stories, and we love hearing their stories around us when there are brothers and sisters who are here who suffer, but they can still say, God is good. They can still say, God is sufficient. And when they say that, it empowers people around them to say, man, this guy, he has this really strong faith. He really loves Jesus. He really understands the gospel. So, for example, if our sister Viv, who loves to sing all the time, all of a sudden, you know, got those nodes, is that what they're called, on her vocal cords, and she couldn't sing anymore, but she was still able to say, even if I can't sing, God is awesome. And when we hear that, we think, wow, Viv, you're so faithful. I love that. I wish I could be as faithful as you. Or when we hear about Kim, who loves swimming, I don't know if you knew that. Kim, since she was 4 years old, has been swimming. And she swam 7 kilometers in the ocean once, like as for fun. I don't know why, but that's her thing. She loves that. It's her passion. And if something disabled her or crippled her one day and she couldn't do that, but for her to still show those around her that God is still good, God is still faithful, she'll suffer, but she'll still rejoice if people can see that God is still good in her life. That empowers people, doesn't it? That gives courage to people. Or if our brother Matt Chan breaks his leg and he loves basketball and he can't play basketball for a whole year and he can't go to China and travel over there when he really wanted to go there, and for months he's bedridden, and some of the brothers here would go visit him and that'd see him and that'd encourage him. But he's there and he's there like, yeah, this is just, I'm trying to figure out what God wants me to do with this, but God is still good. I still trust him. That's encouraging, isn't it? I got to see Matt Chan during that time, and I was super encouraged. Sure, like there were times he felt disappointed, he wanted to complain, but he still loves Jesus even more. That's encouraging. That's empowering. So let's suffer in a way that empowers those around us. Let's suffer in a way that encourages people around us to see that even though you're suffering, even though you're struggling right now, even though it's a really dark period of life, God is still good. You know, Paul's not here trying to tell people, he's not trying to boast about his suffering. He's not trying to say anything to benefit himself. He's not here to be a motivational speaker, but he's actually done it himself. He is the William Wallace who goes into battle before us. He is the one who sets an example. He's the one who really struggles and suffers. But you know what? He suffers because his Lord Jesus suffered before him. His Lord Jesus was on that struggle street when he went to the cross. He's willing to suffer for the gospel because in the next week's sermon, we will hear that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everything for Paul is about Jesus. Everything for Paul is about the gospel. Jesus is sufficient. He is our firm foundation, our fortress, our strong and high tower. People will see our courage. And when they do, they'll be encouraged to say, hashtag, God is good through all the circumstances. And that's exactly the third point I want to make. See, he suffers in a way that makes much of Jesus. He's there to suffer, to magnify Jesus. Suffering to magnify. Verse 15 to 18. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. What's going on? Paul's got what we would like to say haters. He's got haters out there who don't like him, who probably don't like the person he is for whatever reason. They're probably trying to elevate themselves. They want to be that missionary. They want to be that person that everyone knows, and they're just hating on Paul at the moment. Paul says, as long as they share in the gospel, that's all that matters. That's all I care about. I will suffer. They can gossip about me, or bitch about me, whatever. As long as they're still preaching the gospel, the same gospel message that I've been preaching. You see, the whole Imperial Guard knows why this man is in chains. He's suffering for a purpose because of Jesus. The brothers out there know that he's suffering, and they're empowered by that, so they want to go. So the gospel's going forward in a larger sense as well through his suffering. More people going out there to spread the gospel. And thirdly, there are even his haters. Even his haters are there still sharing the gospel. Even they might talk badly about him, they're still sharing the gospel. In that, he rejoices. You see, for him, even in his suffering, he's magnifying Jesus here. He's magnifying what he treasures most, what he loves most. It reminds me of something that I just found out yesterday as well. I'm talking to our brother Nick. He's the guy that's on the ushering team, the welcoming team. Nick loves Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't know if you knew that. He loves Yu-Gi-Oh! It's a card game. He's really good at it too. He's going to a tournament in New Zealand soon. And he loves Yu-Gi-Oh! And he was asked this question last night. And he was asked, Nick, would you rather be kicked in the groin multiple times or have your Yu-Gi-Oh! Card stolen? Mikey, no brainer. I'd rather be kicked in the groin. Of course, why wouldn't I? That really made me realize, wow, Nick really loves his Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards. Like, and they're worth a lot as well, but it's great. That's what he treasures, and I can see that. And that's what Paul's saying. He's willing to get kicked in the groin multiple times. Paul's willing to get kicked in the groin just so the gospel will go forward, because the gospel is what matters to him. How does this man still rejoice, even at the lowest of points in a jail cell? How does this man still rejoice, even though there are haters out there gossiping about him and speaking badly about him? I mean, that hurts, doesn't it? I know I don't like when people gossip about me. See, when we suffer, it really reveals where we find our security. It reveals where we find our comfort, our joy. For Paul, he suffers and he finds his security in the gospel. That's what matters. He embraces every opportunity and the circumstances that he finds himself in. He uses it to love Jesus and make Jesus known even more, to magnify him. We try so desperately, don't we, to hold on to those things in life that we find our identity in, those things that we find that will comfort us in those hard times. We run to those things thinking, that's going to make me feel better right now. Paul's saying Jesus is the one that makes him feel better. Jesus is the one that he wants to make known to the people around him. Whatever matters to him is just to see the gospel go forward. It's so much more, isn't it, than just hashtagging God is good when we get a new phone or new shoes or go on holiday and we want to just hashtag on our Instagram or Facebook, God is good. Sure, God is good. And we can rejoice when we get to enjoy the blessings he gives us. But you know, the same God who leads us through green pastures is the same God who leads us through the valleys. God is good. Hashtag God is good. Always. Because that's what leads to Jesus being magnified. That's what leads to others being empowered by the gospel. That's what leads to the gospel going out. You see, in our passage today, Paul shares he's in chains. He shares that even in his shame, even in his chains, even though there are haters, that he wants the gospel to go forward. And that's at the heart of all his ambitions. Now, I know some of you here are thinking, Mikey, who are you to say that suffering's just get over it and praise God? Who are you to say that you have no idea how I feel? You have no idea the suffering I've gone through. Your life is easy. I've gone multiple trips to the hospital. My parents, a split. My family's broken. My friends often betray me and gossip about me. We suffer, don't we? We get disappointed in life and we ask God why. We ask God, why are you doing this to me? And we get jealous and we get envious of people's lives around us and we start looking at their lives and of course they can say hashtag God is good. They get to go on holiday, they have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I don't have that. And they're taking selfies of them all the time. I wish I could do that. I wish I could have a good family and lots of food to eat. I wish I could go to those nice restaurants and take pictures of my food. And hashtag God is good. But I can't. You know, some of you feel like you're suffering. Some of you guys feel like I can't understand you, that I have no right to speak to you about this. But this is what the Bible's saying. And if anyone can speak to you about this, it's really the Apostle Paul. You see, in 2 Corinthians, if you guys flip to that with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. He writes, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. And again in chapter 12, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true. as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Paul can speak on suffering. Paul's a man who suffered. But Paul's also a man who rejoices. He rejoices because of the gospel in his life. Even with all the bad stuff that's going on in his life, he remains joyful because hashtag God is good. Because hashtag the gospel goes forward. You know, this man doesn't suffer for his own self-righteousness. He suffers. He doesn't suffer to guilt trip the Philippians or us. To show us how good he is. He doesn't do it out of his arrogance or boasting, but he suffers because Jesus suffered for him. He suffers because Jesus suffered for him. You see, Paul's life is all about the gospel, centering on the gospel, no matter what the circumstances are. You and I will suffer, and when we do suffer, suffer well. Let Jesus use our suffering so he can do something good in you and through you. Don't waste your suffering, because our suffering is just it's an opportunity, really, to magnify Jesus and advance the gospel. So by way of application, be anchored in Jesus. Why do I say that? Because life is like we're on a boat sometimes. You know, and sometimes if we don't anchor ourselves, we're just going to drift here and there. Our feelings are going to determine how we feel, where the boat goes. Sometimes when the waves come, we'll go up and down, up and down. But when Jesus is our anchor, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter, because Jesus is good. God is good, always. The gospel has shown us that. Through his death and through his resurrection on the cross for our sins, we can see that God is good, always. How are we to respond with hope and security when our circumstances cut us down, when we are humbled, when things are difficult? We see Paul's example here, anchoring in the gospel, anchoring in Jesus, anchoring his joy and contentment in life in the gospel, and the gospel going forward. It's not a situation we'd rejoice in naturally. If it was me, I'd be complaining so much. I'd be really hungry. And I just... For Paul to anchor his joy in the gospel, that says something, doesn't it? Sap for G. Last week I got a response form, and one of the brothers here wrote, "Sap for G." Let's pray for our church to sap for G. That's the second application here on the sheets. SAP for G. And it stands for suffer and persevere for the gospel. Let's pray for our church to suffer and persevere for the gospel. You see, whatever our chains might be, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whatever situation, if we find ourselves ridiculed for the gospel, if we find ourselves alienated by our friends because of the gospel, if we find ourselves not understood by those around us, our best friends, they're the times that we need to suffer. They're the times we need to persevere because of the gospel, because the gospel is what matters the most. And they're going to happen. There are going to be times where we're going to feel that way, rejected, alienated, excluded, because we're Christians. But if I can encourage you in any way, suffer because you love Jesus. Suffer quietly so the God of love can be known. So people can know who God is. So people can know that God is good always. You know, there will be times where, yeah, you might be in a relationship. You might be tempted to have sex before marriage. You might be suffering, and you might need to say no, even Though it might means that this person you've been emotionally depending on for so long. It means that you might have to suffer when you're single and all your friends around you are in relationships. And it's really easy to just get jealous, but to see that God is enough for you, to see that God is sufficient, to persevere in that way, that says something. At times when your family is giving you a really hard time and your parents are just on your backs about everything, but just to persevere at that moment because you know God's love for you, that says something. Will God be your firm foundation? Will God be your firm foundation that you place your hope and security and your joy in so that others can see the gospel? That hashtag, God is good, even though I lost my job, even though I've lost that person I really loved, even though I'm suffering. That's perseverance. That's having the gospel at the center. We need to trust in the providence of God. See, what was really interesting before that, what Clint shared with us in Lebanon, was that he's learned that God is organized. Everything's been organized by God already. When I say trust in the providence of God, that's exactly what I mean. You see, providence isn't a word that we use usually. It's an old word, old English word. And a lot of us confuse this word with provision, God's provision for us. But providence is more unique in the sense that it's about God who has everything planned out, mapped out for us, mapped out for his creation. In God's providence, he governs all things. He controls all things, whether through over mountains or in valleys, whether through darkness or in light. God has everything planned out already. That's his providence. And even though there'll be times where we suffer, we're disappointed and we're struggling, God's providence is always good. There's always something to look forward to. God is good always. Let me finish with a story. Let me finish with a biography of a missionary couple. You guys might have heard this before, but there was a man called Jim Elliot, great guy who trained for years to be a missionary. He went to university and then he went to Bible college and he equipped himself with the Bible because he wanted to go to an unreached people group to share the Bible, share the gospel with. He got married, so he was in his 20s, I think, and he was a godly man, a man who just wanted to serve God on the mission field, and his wife was of the same attitude. He went with three other men on his first trip to visit this place, one of his first trips, and he landed on the shores of Ecuador, trying to reach a people in the forest, in the jungle, called the Alca people, the Alca tribe. And he landed on the shore, and some men came out to greet him, some tribal men. And as they conversed, and as they spoke, and they shared, as he left, he was speared in the back, and he died. All these years of training, ready to go out onto the mission field, all these years of getting prepared, getting his heart ready for this, wanting to see the gospel go forward, his dreams were dashed. Everything that he wanted was gone in that moment, just like that. These people just speared him in the back, and he died. You can imagine what his wife Elizabeth thought at the time. Full of hurt, full of pain, she was ready to go with him. So what she did, because what she did was she went back to that village and she went to seek the people who killed her own husband. She went there. She was welcomed into that village. She was given the opportunity to bring the gospel into this unreached tribal group. And the gospel is flourishing there. She had to forgive. She had to suffer, but she had to forgive so the gospel could go forward. She had to battle through her pain, her heartache of losing her loved one at the hands of these murderers. Her heart was in chains. But she suffered through it and persevered so the gospel which is unchained, could be brought to these people. You see, at the heart of all her ambitions was seeing the gospel go forward. So I want to leave you with that question today. What's at the heart of your ambitions? When you struggle and when you suffer, are you willing to suffer for the gospel and for the gospel to be known? For everyone to know, God is good, always. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you so much for the gospel, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who did go before us, who went before us, and he struggled. He was anxious. He was frightened. He sweat. He sweated drops of blood because of his anxiety, because he was so... We're so thankful for Jesus, Lord, that he was willing to suffer on a cross for our sins. He was willing to be our sacrifice. He was willing to die so that we could live, so that we could know you and be in a relationship with you and know the good and great God. So we're thankful for that, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give us hearts of repentance so that we can turn to you in all circumstances in life, whether good or bad, Lord, that we can trust in your providence of being a good and great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.